Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. There's been a lot of reflection on St. Louis history this 250th anniversary of the city's founding. We'll be talking about tracking our history far beyond that a little later in the program. But first, a man who's made some history himself during the 11 years he served as St. Louis County Executive. That, of course, is Charlie Dooley. He leaves office on January 1st, and he joins me in studio, along with St. Louis Public Radio political reporter Joe Manis. Thank you so much, both of you, for being here. Charlie, the days are dwindling down to a precious few.
Yes, they are. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure to have you. Let's get right at it. I have detected over the last couple of days in particular, tell me if I'm wrong, that there's some anger and there's some bitterness on the part of Charlie Dooley.
Well, I wouldn't call it anger or bitterness. I think it's a relief that the things that were said about me was completely untrue, it was misrepresented, and it was done on purpose.
Hmm. You characterize that as character assassination. And you've also said that race has played a role in all of this, particularly your defeat in August.
Yes.
How so?
Well, first of all, the last several years, there have been some issues with public officials in the St. Louis metropolitan area about certain things that they should not have done. Okay? And Charlie Dooley being, I would say, in St. Louis County, the highest elected official and happened to be an African-American. And in this community, Don, I've lived here my entire life. I'm 67 years of age now. I live here all my life, so I'm not going to pretend about what St. Louis is and what it is not. But when you say in politics that an African-American is corrupt, the things that were said, a sitting prosecutor have never done that in the city or the county. And for him to do that, And for him, Bob McCullough, to know that it's not the truth, it's a lie, is unconscionable. And I thought that was – and in this city, once that's brought out like that, it's very difficult for an African-American to defend themselves. I'm going to give an example. If you read the papers in St. Louis, every day that's what they talked about. Every chance they got about Charlie Dooley, they talked about corruption and linked me to people – that I had no political affiliation with, but because they did some wrongdoing, I was put in that same vein. That was done time and time again. That was done on the radio and some radio stations. They're done in the paper. They're done in a couple of papers. They even had it one time in the Business Journal, had a non-scientific poll, should Charlie Dooley run for office because of the police crime lab. What was that about? I mean, it was relentless. Every chance some people in this community got, they talked about that. Even some of the trade unions, they talked about that, which was really unfortunate. But if you look at all the evidence, the things that were said about me, and it's very difficult when you try to defend yourself, there's nobody picking it up. So all you ever hear is Charlie Dooley is corrupt, the administration is corrupt. And I have some very fine people working for St. Louis County that did an outstanding job these 11 years. That was unfortunate because they got picked with that as well. And like a good friend of mine said, well, Charlie, what happens is this. When you're in office and they can't find anything that you did wrong, they'll try to attach your name with anything or anybody they possibly can, and that's exactly what they did. And it worked. And let me say this, again, I have – had four elections. I won three of those elections. I have never not lost all white districts. I lost all white districts this time. The only one in all the African-American districts, period. So it was obvious what they were doing, and it, quite frankly, it worked.
But no offense, but why were you bringing it up now as opposed to June or July in the heat of the campaign? When Stinger was running these ads, I mean, some of which we're talking about, because there were at one time three federal investigations going on. Now, they were not directed at you personally. And in fact, if you recall, the U.S. Attorney's Office had said some time ago. They weren't directed at you personally. But in any case, mm-hmm. Stenger was running those ads, and then you countered with ads mm-hmm. that was mm-hmm. blasting him mm-hmm. because one of his mm-hmm. clients mm-hmm. had run a prostitution ring. Mm-hmm. So
that is true.
You had some pretty heavy ads. But why did you not bring some of this stuff up now?
All that was brought up, but nobody ever reported it. That's what I told the paper about all this stuff. The Post knew about the Sansone thing 6 months in advance. Bob McCullough knew about this. They all knew about it, but then they come out in June and July talking about it. So it's not like I didn't say anything about this. Everybody knew. Even some of the insiders knew and said, what is Bob McCullough talking about? How can you say that about Charlie and he's a sitting prosecutor? If he did something wrong, did you not hear people say, well, if Charlie did something wrong, why wouldn't Bob McCullough arrest him? But nobody, you didn't hear it being talked about every single day. All you heard about was Charlie Dooley and his administration screw up every week. That's what you talked about.
But my question is, mm-hmm. though, why are you so upset now as opposed to several months ago? I mean, you seem to be kind of venting now about it as opposed to a few months ago.
Well, here's the key to this is that what the U.S. attorney came out with this week, they knew this a year ago. We had the county counselor, Pat Reddison, indicated she wrote several letters to the U.S. attorney asking him, could you please facilitate your investigation?
Let me interrupt just for a moment mm-hmm. for the audience that doesn't know that no violations have been proved, according to the U.S. attorney's office, in conjunction with the Sansone matter, mm-hmm. the crime lab situation, just so the audience understands that. Sorry to interrupt you.
That's all right. That's a good point that the U.S. attorney there indicated there was no wrongdoing, no criminal charges, nothing, and the case now is completely closed.
Now, this is on federal. I mean, he mm-hmm. emphasized mm-hmm. he was just talking about federal mm-hmm. law. Yeah.
But here's the deal, and I've said this on many occasions, and I think if you remember, Joe, I've said this on a lot of occasions. Charlie Dooley, since I've been county executive, I have never been investigated by the grand jury, U.S. attorney, or any police department. I've said that on many occasions, but it went nowhere. If I was under investigation, no one on my staff has been under investigation. But they had to believe that you thought I was on the investigation or someone in my staff. That was, how many times you heard me say that, Joe? But it just didn't resonate that I'm not on an investigation, my staff not on an investigation. Why do they keep saying these things? Why do they keep reporting it in the paper? Why are you hearing on the radio that Charlie Dooley's on investigation when it's all of it is untrue?
What role do you think Ferguson played in the election outcome?
The issue with the Ferguson issue, this was before the Ferguson actually.
Primary was 4 days before this.
Four days before Ferguson.
Right. And some people indicated that, oh, Charlie, if that would have happened a week ago, it might have been a different outcome. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't say that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that. I don't know that. Mm-hmm. What
Nobody
I do ever. Know, I don't. I would never say that.
Right, right.
But what I will say is that during the time of the election, I've said on many occasions how it's unfortunate that a lot of miscommunication, a lot of untruths, a lot of taking a little bit of truth and taking it to the 90th part of saying, twisting the truth to make it sound like something. And in the St. Louis media area, it is hard, let me be very clear, I'm going to say this, it is hard for an African-American to defend themselves when someone is saying that they are corrupt and you got the prosecuting attorney saying they are corrupt and he don't have to prove anything, he just say it. That is exactly what happened. And I tried to defend myself, and it just was not going to work.
How long have you had bad blood with Prosecutor McCullough for a while, or is this just something that came up this year?
I didn't know I had any bad blood against Mr. McCullough. Mr. McCullough asked me, he said, well, Charlie, I think I might not be able to support you this time. Well, let me be clear about this so the public would know. Mr. McCullough didn't want me to run for county executive the first time. And I did it anyway.
You're talking about 2004 or 2006?
Right, 2004.
Okay.
He asked me not to run then, so we have never been that close. We just agreed to disagree, okay? So I didn't know I had any problem with Mr. McCullough until this year when he came to me and says that, well, I won't be able to support you. And I asked him why, and he couldn't give me a reason why. And then the other thing about there's a couple of mishaps in the county government. Nobody can be in the public office for 11 years and expect everything to go right. It's just impossible. It doesn't happen. And so he says, Bob McCullough has never said anything about this administration for 11 years. This year was the first year, every time something might came up, he had something to say about it. The court case, the family court. What was he talking about? We did what the judges wanted to do. But he had something to say about the family court. I mean, everything that we did, he has something to say about it, as if he knew what he was talking about.
And his motive?
What do apparently you his motive was, eventually was, not to support Charlie Dooley, because I believe the unions asked him, the trade unions asked him not to support me. And the reason why, I'm going to tell you the reason was, what happened was you had the communication bill in St. Louis County. We're building a new communication. And what happened was St. Louis County picked a union contractor to select all the subcontractors. And everybody knows how we do our business. We do not select subcontractors. The union contractor selected a low bid for electrical work that was a non-union company and was owned by an African-American. The electrician union was upset with that. They wanted me to try to change that. I said, I'm not going to change that. That's illegal, and I have nothing to do with the subcontracts. The county only selects the contractor. The contractors select the subcontractors. The same issue came up with the Sansone situation. We knew nothing about Sansone being a subcontractor. The contractor picked him because he was the lowest bid, simply put. But they had it dressed up as if it was something else, like it was cohesion or somebody was doing something wrong. Those are the misdirections that Mr. McCullough knew what the deal was and chose not to say it.
Now, when you look, I mean, every as you mentioned, mm-hmm. there are various, I mean, anybody who's in mm-hmm. office a long time is going to run into some right. problems. But some would say that probably the controversy that hurt you the most was the embezzlement in the health department. I mean, and no one was really ever fired after the guy, you know, committed suicide. And then you had an investigation. Apparently, it was several million dollars that he's embezzled. Some say that that controversy, again, it didn't involve you directly, but you were left with having to deal with it, that might have hurt you the most, was about a year ago.
First of all, let me say this. You would think that Charlie Dooley stole $3.5 million. Since when do you put the county executive over the fold of the paper with the person that actually did the stealing as if I actually stole money? Now, if you tell me if something is wrong with that picture, you figure that out. There's no other elected official had ever had that situation, and nobody's been in office at any time, a corporation or a city or a municipality. Things like that happen. You would think that I actually hired the person who was a merit employee, like he was a Charlie Dooley appointee. No, I cannot be responsible for 4,000 employees. I'm responsible because it's on my watch. But to say I actually had something to do with it or I could have physically stopped it, that's untrue. And Bob McCullough knew that, but he played on that as well. Again, anybody's in office for 11 to 12 years, things do happen. Things happen to some of my cohorts, and you well know who I'm talking about, that never came up. That was never an issue. It never was over a fold of the paper. But with me, it's completely different. And so what I'm saying to you is there's a double standard in this community when it comes to certain issues.
Got to take a break now. You've been listening to Charlie Dooley. He is the outgoing St. Louis County executive. He's with us in studio, as is my colleague, political reporter Joe Manis from STL Public Radio. Back in a moment to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our conversation with Charlie Dooley, who is leaving his job as St. Louis County Executive on January 1st. We'll continue in a moment, but first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. The state of Missouri is suing 13 St. Louis County municipal courts over what it calls fiscal failures. Attorney General Chris Koster announced the lawsuit today at a St. Louis news conference. He was joined by the top two leaders of the state's Ferguson Commission. That commission has identified municipal court reform as a top priority. The city of St. Louis's municipal court has adopted a new rule to take into account a violator's ability to pay when deciding the appropriate punishment for minor traffic and municipal offenses. The administrative order gives judges the direction and ability to exercise discretion in determining the fine payment and payment schedule for a municipal violation based on the offender's ability to pay. And the American Civil Liberties Union and the NAACP announced today they're suing the Ferguson-Florissant School District. The group claims the district's at-large elections make it more difficult for blacks to be elected, even though the district serves more black families than whites. The suit seeks elections where candidates are selected by ward or sub-district. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation with Charlie Dooley. Charlie, I want to get back to Ferguson, and thank you for the correction on the date of the primary in the Ferguson incident. One of the things I heard a lot during the whole Ferguson episode was, where is Charlie Dooley? Mm-hmm. Why wasn't Charlie Dooley more visible? Why didn't he take a commanding leadership role somehow while all of this was going on? Mm-hmm. That it was a chance to really show your stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I was involved in the process. I was down with the marches down there.
Weren't you there on the Sunday, the day after the shooting?
Right. I was there.
Okay. That's
I mean, I was there, but the cameras weren't on me. And I wasn't there for the cameras to be on me. I was there in support of what was going on in that community and our police department and the people in that community. But to say that Charlie Dooley was not there, that simply isn't true.
Well, you know, I think that put it in the context of being there more often and being more forceful, more vocal, and more visible than was the case. That's what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. You don't think that's the case?
I don't think that's the case. And again, I was visible a number of times. I had interviews with the CNN, some other broadcast people and newspaper people. So someone to say that Charlie Dooley was not engaged, that simply isn't true. I was engaged with the Department of Justice. Committees, we had staff members there. We were there on a daily basis. So to say that I wasn't involved, now, you may say that you didn't see me. It doesn't mean I wasn't involved.
What did you contribute?
What did I contribute?
Yeah.
Again, when I was down there, I was looking at what was taking place, was there some justification of what some of the protesters were saying, and some of the things I saw, they had a right to say what they were saying with the police department and how they were doing some things. I agreed with that. Again, with the Justice Department about how we can make it better, the things we can do in the community to make it better. I met with some of the church groups, with those individuals. So I did the things I thought was beneficial. Again, I'm not here trying to get headlines, or I'm just trying to do the work that has to be done behind the scenes that has to be done. And on the other hand, they said, well, why wouldn't Charlie do there in the very beginning? In the very beginning, we know it's going to be a problem. Because, remember, it was not a St. Louis County situation. It was a Ferguson situation. And the Ferguson person called the police chief and asked him, could he take over? Well, how many police departments have actually told St. Louis County, come in and take over? So I didn't see what their problem was until after the fact. Then it was too little too late then. And then the governor came in and says, because I had talked to the police chief, and we had a meeting the morning after the situation, and we had decided we're going to change that whole scenario. And that's when the governor had called without telling me that he's going to take over the whole situation.
Now, how involved were you? This is right before the grand jury decision was announced. As you know, the governor's come under heavy fire because mm-hmm. of the mm-hmm. fires and the looting and the things mm-hmm. that went on the night of November 24th. Mm-hmm. Now, he had 700 National Guard here, but 400 were deployed in the city and only 300 in the county. The next day, he had 2,200. Mm-hmm. So there was like 1,800 mm-hmm. in the county. So my question is, did he talk to you ahead of time about how many people were needed? Did you not communicate to him that you thought more National Guard were needed? I'm interested in your mm-hmm. perspective mm-hmm. on what or what did not happen that night after the
he indicated,
announcement.
What he indicated, he did not ask me. I was not involved in that process about how many and when he going to call the National Guard and how many there was going to be.
Why?
I can't tell you that. I don't know. He didn't call me. Originally, I had to call him to get that information from him. For example, when he decided to come in and take over the operation, the unified situation, he didn't ask my – he didn't call the county executive and say, look, Mr. Dooley, I'm about to come in. He did this all on his own. So I'm always behind the eight ball and everything that he was doing. So to say that that I had a large input into that, a lot of it was taken out of my hand once the governor got involved in it. And I was like almost St. Louis County and St. Louis City was almost a second thought.
How would you evaluate the leadership during this whole time?
I think that it's, when you look back at it, there's some things that could have been done differently. There's no question about it. A lot of things that we know now that we didn't know at the time. I would say to you that it shows that there was some lack of sensitivity in the training that we do with our police officers. I said this on an earlier occasion. I feel somewhat responsible for, because I am the county executive. Did this happen on my watch? And St. Louis County is responsible for the training of police officers in St. Louis County through St. Louis County Police Academy. That is a fact.
So is there anything you can look back at now and think that you might have done differently?
Well, Don, I don't want to do that because it wouldn't be the right thing to do. I probably did some of those things and some things I would not have done. The thing about the gas, I have
tear gas.
Tear gas. I have reservations about that. I just have a strong thing about one of the things that I think. Let me be very clear about it. In my estimation, like I said, I'm 67 years old. I've seen things in these United States. I love this country. Let's be clear about that.
You fought for this country.
I fought for this country. But there are things in this country that are double standard. You never see when white protesters gas being thrown on them. I would not have done that. I have never seen that. I'm going to give an example. Remember, I had the issue in California about the individual grazing on government land?
Oh, yes.
They actually had civilians pointed weapons at federal agents. Can you imagine an African-American have a weapon drawn at a federal agent and they do nothing? They stood down. Let's be clear about it, Don. They stood down and they talked their way through it. Nobody was gassed. Nobody was shot. But to have people on the highway with guns pointed at federal agents, I could not even imagine an African-American doing that.
You're bringing it back to race and have done this on a number of occasions.
And I
get it, but let me just ask this question. Mm-hmm. Do you think, as a result of what's gone on in Ferguson or with the Eric Garner case in New York, that's happened all over the country, that that is going to have any influence in changing the things that you've been talking about?
I will hope it does. I will hope it does. Let me be clear about this, Don. And I told a good friend of mine this. There are too many young black males in this country being killed unjustifiable. And all those young men have mothers and families and fathers. And somehow people don't think that's a value. When they talk about Black Lives Matter, it does matter. It does matter. And every time you look around, there's a young black male being killed for whatever reason. And the thing that's sad about it, when they're killed, it's for little or nothing. Someone being killed about a cigar or a cigarello or somebody selling cigarettes, is that enough to kill a person to take their life?
Well, as you say, it has happened before.
Yes.
It's likely to happen again. But when it's happened before, there's an early outcry and then it goes away until it happens again. Well, I'm curious as to whether or not you think Ferguson is going to change that dynamic.
I will hope it will. One of the things they're talking about now is you just indicated in your commercial that the Missouri Attorney General was talking about changing some laws for the municipal courts. There's some state senators talking about legislation at the state level about how do we do things. Issues in St. Louis talking about how you actually, someone that break the law, can they actually afford it? I believe some good is going to come about. How much? I don't know. But here's the thing that I think is most important that you're missing, that most people in this country is missing. And in St. Louis County, there are two different worlds. There's the worlds of Chesterfield, Wildwood, Clayton, Ladue, all those areas, they live in a different world than the rest of the people in the St. Louis County, in the North County area, and some of the North City areas. When they read the paper about someone losing their life, to them, it's far removed. Hmm. It's not even where they live. They can't even identify with it. And that's the problem, because they don't see there's a problem, because they not identify with it. They don't. When their kids go to the store, they're not followed throughout the store during Christmas time because they're African-American. They don't have that situation, so they don't see it. They don't feel it. They don't recognize it. But when it's brought to them, there are some individuals that understand it, that deal with the system every day. They see it. But a vast majority of Americans in this country, they don't see that as a problem for them. And that's how you say it. How can we connect the dots?
Do you see a role for yourself in trying to affect the kind of changes we're talking about, working with the legislature, working with the Ferguson Commission, mm-hmm. whatever? You're going to have some time on your hands now.
Yes, I will. As I said before, I love this community. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. If they want me to do some things, I would volunteer my time. Whatever they want me to do, I will do. I still live here. My family lives here. I lived in Northwest for the last 40 years. I'm not moving anywhere. I would do what it takes to make this a better community. It's going to take all of us working together. So one person can't do it by themselves. And let's be clear about this. And it's not going to happen overnight.
Hmm. Joe?
Now, looking over your 11 years, mm-hmm. of course, you know, Ferguson and everything mm-hmm. else has kind of permeated the last mm-hmm. few months. Is there anything particular that you're especially proud of that you achieved or are a part of?
Joe, over 11 years, we've done a lot of great things. A few things is, for example, the I-64. Without St. Louis County, that never would have taken place. That's $500 million being invested in this community.
The reconstruction.
The reconstruction of I-64. The 141. What a tremendous asset that is. You talk about the North Park. I mean, that is tremendous going on there. The jobs are being created there is simply outstanding. You talk about the great streets on Natural Bridge. You talk about the 367 or the Jenny Station Road. Or you talk about in communities like Pine Lawn, Hillsdale, that people have thought they'll never have new homes being built. There are new homes being built in Wellston and Pine Lawn and Pagedale. It makes a big difference in people's lives, just on the big end, but the small ends as well. A lot of good stuff. Remember the Colony Apartments? When people talk about how bad they were, go look at them now in Brentwood Apartments. They're simply outstanding. These are the things that we're proud of. The reconstruction of the Ventura Apartments. Simply giving people a decent place to live is outstanding.
Is there a signature accomplishment that can be attributed directly to Charlie Dooley?
One of the things, it's a catch-22, is the trash pickup in St. Louis County. I think I got more grief from that, but let me tell you something. Don, we say St. Louis County residents in unincorporated area more than $40 million over these last 7 years we had that project. It's about bidding process, about the lowest bid, the biggest bang for the buck, and I'm still being criticized for it, but guess what? Every month, somebody write me a letter that says it was the best thing that could happen to St. Louis County is to have their trash picked up at a decent price. So I think that trash is... You don't think about it, but you got to get it done.
Well, a lot of politicians have gone down because of trash collections, and a lot have been boosted mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. Our news department has determined through whatever means they have that you've closed your social media accounts, all mm-hmm. of them. Mm-hmm. How come?
Well, come December 31st, I've been in office for more than 35 years. I was the alderman in the city of Northwoods. I was the mayor on the county council, the county executive for more than 35 years. My public life from that point of view is over with. I'm done. I'm 67. I have no regrets. I had a great time. Being county executive afforded me a tremendous opportunity to see the good people in this community that make this community work. And I thank you for that. I enjoy that, and my family enjoy that as well. So, again, this is a great community. We have work to do. There's no question about it. But I would tell you this, that our best days are ahead of us. I believe that.
So you're not going to get on Twitter ever again? You've closed both of those accounts.
Well, I can always do a personal one, you know what I'm saying? So that's the political part of me, you know what I'm saying? That part is gone. But I still will be doing things. I'll be doing some Twitter here and there. So, again, I'm still going to be alive and well.
What remains, Charlie, in your mind to be done? I mean, what are the? I know you're disappointed that you're not going to have mm-hmm. another 4 years. Mm-hmm. What's the main job ahead? Do you think
the main job ahead is healing this community?
Healing
this community. How the world sees St. Louis region is not accurate, but it is accurate, but it's unfair. Okay. And I don't want that to stop this community to not grow, to get better, to provide jobs and opportunity, education. This is a tremendous place to live. I think we've been settled with something that is a country problem, not just St. Louis issue. But we're going to have to bear that cross. There's no question about that. I think the work is moving this community forward. How do we do it? How do we get our police officers to continue to do a great job? How do we weed out the ones that don't do a very good job? Because there are those that do not do a very good job. It don't speak to the vast majority of our police officers, but to say that we don't have problems in the police department, that wouldn't be the truth. And we all know it. And we all hear about the sad stories that happen. And me and the African-American man, I've been approached with that as well, by some things that happened to me in my lifetime. So I know it exists. Our biggest challenge is, how do we heal the community, but how do we move forward in a positive way that makes sure that every person in our community is a person of value?
And you would anticipate hopefully playing some sort of a role in that?
I would so.
Yes, all right. Sir. Even at age 67. I think you said you were 67 years old.
I was 67.
All right. Joe, if you have another question, good. Otherwise, we'll move along.
Okay, well, just one really quick thing. The frustration and the anger that you've been expressing the last few days, has that affected at all the transition dealings that you're involved in with incoming county executive-elect Steve Stenger?
Well, first of all,
or do you have any discussions?
I really have no discussion. The individual never called me at one time about anything. And so, therefore, there's no connection whatsoever. So, again, I felt that if you want something to know about what's going on in county government, you can call me. I was there every day. That did not happen. So, apparently, he has his own agenda, so I let him. So, as I said, on the night I lost election, I wish him well.
All right, and we wish you well. Charlie Dooley, we have to end this conversation right now, but just a couple of days left. Thank you so much for being with us, and hope you enjoy the final few days of the year and the final few days of your administration.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me today, and happy holidays to you.
Same to you. Good luck to you in the future. Joe Manis, thank you so much for being with us as well.
Well, thank you, sir, taking part in this.
And we'll get together again soon, I am sure. Coming up, a look at some local history, and this time through a timeline. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.